to be able to meet Roberto Metsola, the president of the European Parliament, or Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the European Commission. Like, that for me was like a crazy experience, that me and Ursula were like touching EU flags and me telling her how beautiful the flag is. That it is like a thing that this picture will never get out of my mind.
Bienvenue dans ce nouvel et dernier épisode de la saison de WePod, un local Heroes, le podcast qui explore la vie des jeunes au Luxembourg et les initiatives locales qui les soutiennent. Si vous nous écoutez depuis le début de cette aventure, vous savez que moi je m'appelle Priscilla, mais malheureusement aujourd'hui je ne suis pas avec mon co-animateur Fernando, mais on pense très très fort à lui. Aujourd'hui, on clôture cette première saison avec un sujet très intéressant. Que fait l'Europe pour les jeunes? On parle souvent de l'Europe comme une grande idée, parfois trop lointaine, mais derrière cette image, il y a des programmes, des institutions et surtout des opportunités concrètes qui ont un impact direct sur la vie de milliers de jeunes, peut-être même la vôtre. Et puis, il y a aussi l'Europe au coin de la rue, à travers des centres d'information, des associations, des personnes engagées qui créent des ponts entre l'Union européenne et les citoyens. Pour en parler aujourd'hui, j'ai le plaisir d'accueillir Yvan Léa Martin, chargé de projet européen chez WeCitizen. Bonjour Yvan.
Bonjour. Ça va?
Ça va, très bien, et toi?
Oui, très bien.
Et Anna Paola Tito, chargée de mission Europe. Bonjour Anna, tu vas bien?
Hello, yes, all good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Tous deux travaillent pour l'association WeCitizen, qui est détenteur du label Europe Direct et hébergeur d'un centre de documentation européenne. Alors, que fait réellement l'Europe pour les jeunes? Comment ces actions se traduisent-elles localement? Et pourquoi est-ce important de se sentir concerné? On en parle tout de suite et en anglais. Before talking about the local level, let's take a detour to the European level. Let's talk about the programs, rights, and institutions that actually work to support young people. So, can you tell me, in your opinion, which European programs are the most transformative for young people today?
That's actually a very good question, because there are a lot of programs, but if I had to summarize them, like just five ones, I would say Erasmus+, of course, the European Solidarity Corps, because we work a lot with that one, Discover EU, ALMA, and Creative Europe.
I'd say, obviously, some of the best EU programs for young people are, there is Horizon Europe, Discover EU, and also there is some youth employment support initiatives. You know, Erasmus+, I think it would be the most popular. And it's not even just for university students anymore. It goes beyond that. It covers internships, volunteering, also exchanges for teachers and trainers and educators. And it gives young people the chance to learn soft skills and build a European network.
The European Solidarity Corps, it's really cool because it allows young people to volunteer in projects across Europe to help communities and promote solidarity. It's really, like, I think this is such a nice way to give back to the community and also to open up your horizon. And something I really recently learned about is about Discover EU, which I wish I knew when I was 18, because 18-year-olds can actually apply. There is like actually two dates during the year where you can apply, and it gives 18-year-olds free travel passes to explore Europe and discover its cultures and diversity for free. Youth can travel for free. They get, like, I think accommodation pay, travels, but of course there's like an application process. But if I knew that for someone, like when you're 18, you don't have much money and you can travel for free, paid by the EU, to learn and grow and see different cultures, sign me up.
I would say there's also Horizon Europe for those into research and innovation, for example, climate change, clean energy, AI, digital challenges. And we have the Creative Europe program for young people into the arts world, for example, filmmaking or cultural projects. There is also youth employment support funds. Young people get apprenticeships and upskilling opportunities.
And something else is ALMA. It's also something probably we'll discuss more because I find it super interesting. ALMA stands for Aim, Learn, Master and Achieve. So it's basically an EU initiative that supports disadvantaged young people who are not in schools or work by offering them training and work placement abroad.
I would say all of these programs are really helping young people to grow, meet others, and also discover Europe beyond just the textbooks and schools.
So you talk about Erasmus+ and the European Solidarity Corps. How do Erasmus+ or the European Solidarity Corps concretely change young people's life?
What makes the Erasmus+ and the European Solidarity Corps so life-changing is how they turn these big ideas for example, like European identity and solidarity into something real and personal that the people, young people, can touch with their hands. For example, with Erasmus Plus, it's not just about studying. It's not even anymore just about studying. It's about living in a new country, moving away, meeting new people from all over, and realizing that you're actually part of something bigger and that you share with other people. My first Erasmus, I did it in Timișoara, Romania, and it was my first time living away from home, and it completely changed my perspective. I mean, it also kind of changed my life. I met the love of my life in Erasmus. We're still together after 9 years. I've made friends that I'll have forever. And also academically, I got to see, for example, how subjects are taught differently. And I learned so much more practically. For example, I studied languages. And in Romania, they had a very hands-on approach compared to the Italian university.
When it comes to the solidarity cards, like, I think that it's all about the cause behind it, the meaningful causes. Like, for example, helping refugees or protecting the environment. They're like the youth, or if you participate in solidarity corps, you actually learn new skills and build also friendships across Europe. And again, this looks very good on your CV, not only on your CV when you want to apply, but also broadens your horizon. That's why I think both those programs bring the Europe closer to the young people, and it helps them also inspire them to become active, engaged Europeans. European citizen.
Does Europe have specific policies to support disadvantaged or marginalized youth?
Yeah, actually, Europe really does have and does a lot to support young people who feel left out or maybe face tough times or come from disadvantaged backgrounds. I would say a big one is the Youth Guarantee. This program basically makes sure, in cooperation and coordination with the EU member states, that every young person under 30 years old can get either a job offer or some sort of training or further education within a few months of finishing school or becoming unemployed.
In the broader term, we have the European Social Fund Plus. So basically, the EU also finances many local and national projects that provides, for example, trainings, career guidance, and social integration. And for example, one of these programs, and has been also very successful, is like the ALMA I mentioned before. Again, it's Aim, Learn, Master, and Achieve. It's a EU initiative that aims to support young, disadvantaged people that are not in any kind of employment, education, or training to help them integrate into society. Basically, they get access to work and training abroad. And you know, sometimes when you are in your local environment, you can feel stuck. But when you go abroad, you feel like no one knows you and you can just be you.
Yeah.
And that is, you can reinvent yourself. And I think that's why I really love ALMA. It's not a program that you can apply per se. It's normally the national and the regional governments that take over and they select the people. Another one is, for example, like under the European Solidarity Corps, as I mentioned, we also have the Humanitarian Aid Volunteering Scheme. I really love that one because that one gives young people, and when I say young, it's between 18 and 35. It's also very important to always look up because certain programs, they use the same word young, but it has different age frames. And this one is really cool because, again, in this Humanitarian Aid Volunteering Scheme, you get a chance internationally to go abroad, help on aid projects, like, again, refugees and the environment. And then you really get real world experience and skills in crisis responses and development. And you get the chance to give back to communities. So as you can see here, these are not just like symbolic things they can do, but it's actually like the EU is trying to really provide tools to help young people regain confidence, find direction, and of course, take their place in society.
I think you already answered it because, like, you all said all these amazing programs, institutions about Europe, but we often hear, I think that is one of the stereotypes about Europe, that Europe often allows people, young people, to travel for free. But what else does it offer to young people today?
Traveling freely in Europe is obviously one of the most immediate things that we perceive. Shout out to the Schengen Agreement. But Europe also offers more than just open borders. So I mentioned already awesome programs like the Erasmus Plus that let you study, train, or volunteer abroad. But the EU is also investing a lot in digital and green skills. Everything from coding to hackathons to climate activism, digital challenges. So young people can be ready for the future.
One platform I think is super helpful because it can be probably a lot of big jargon, a lot of words like ALMA, Solidarity Corps, Erasmus, is actually to use the European Youth Portal. I wish I knew this thing earlier. growing up, because there you have all the project mentions, how to get involved, how to act. And there's really where young people can find jobs, exchanges and volunteerings across Europe. I think also that the EU also protects your rights from safer food and chemicals to digital privacy and anti-discrimination law is something that we often take for granted.
Plus, for example, we have the EU Youth Dialogue, where youth actually can get to shape the policies on big issues like education and mental health.
And from those passionate for the environment and community action, there are also roles like the European Climate Pact Ambassadors, which, by the way, I'm also one of them, and Young Energy Ambassadors. I think those ambassadorships are very cool because it gives you access to like-minded people and also access to a community to make some change and create some change if climate and the environment or energy is your passion. So yes, you can travel, but most importantly, you can belong, contribute, and build your future with the EU support too.
And how can young people make their voices heard in the European decision making?
The EU has developed lately great tools for this. I briefly mentioned the EU Youth Dialogue. Basically, here young people can meet with policymakers to talk about big topics like education, jobs, climate. And there is also the European Youth Forum that can play a big role in making voices heard. I would say it's like a megaphone for young people and young youth groups, different youth groups, so they can make sure that their youth voices can get to the EU decision makers.
The one that really changed me a lot and changed my views about the European Union is actually the Youth Policy Dialogues, which was introduced this year. So basically where, again, young people directly exchange with European commissioners and high-level officials. For example, I personally took part in two, and it's very interesting to see because it's very powerful to see your ideas. They're being taken serious in the high level, and you really get to talk with the ones that make the legislation. For example, also the platform Together EU, which was a campaign launched by the European Parliament, also, for example, helps young people mobilize others, raise awareness around elections, and be part of democratic life. Again, this is also, you can become a volunteer in Together.eu, which is an amazing community where I got the chance to meet so many volunteers from Europe, from Spain, Italy, and it was for me very like enriching and very nice to see what they do as volunteers to promote like democracy in Europe.
Also, anyone can actually take part in the EU surveys and consultations to share their views, their feedback directly from their personal phones or laptops. I would say a big highlight also recently in 2022 was the European Year of Youth. And I would say this year put young people and youth and their voices at the front and center all across Europe. There were full of activities, events, debates that young people were the center of and they could take part of. So yeah, really the EU, especially now, is all about giving young people the chance to speak up and shape what comes next.
So we have to talk about young people's perception of Europe. Do you think young people feel connected to the European Union? Why or why not?
Honestly, I think it's a bit of a mixed picture. I would say a lot of young people feel really connected to the EU, especially because of the most prominent opportunities like the Erasmus Plus or the freedom to travel. Yes, these experiences help create a sense of belonging and show how the EU is there for them and supports them. But on the other hand, for other young people, the EU does still feel very far away. They don't always see how the decisions are made in Brussels, for example, and how they affect their daily lives. They don't have a tangible proof of how they are affected.
But when you see concrete examples, like for example, a lot of people don't know that, and that's something that I'm very proud of coming from Luxembourg. The end of roaming charges is something that a Luxembourgish commissioner did. And it was Viviane Reding, a commissioner from Luxembourg, who started the fight in 2007 to end roaming fees across Europe. And after 13 years, can you imagine, 13 years of pushback from telecom lobbies, Roam Like at Home became a reality in 2012. And now it's very funny, the youth narrowly doesn't nearly even think about it. And that is something that for me often shows that that is Europe. It may feel distant at first, but once you consciously experience it, benefits, travel, for example, the rights, opportunities, you start to feel and see all the benefits.
So I would say that's why places like We Citizens and the Europe Direct Center of Luxembourgville are working very hard to bridge this gap between youth and citizens and the European Union, turning, for example, the EU policies into things that young people can see and feel in their own lives in every day, getting interested in the programs available for them and letting them know that there is more.
How is Europe addressing the major challenges young people face today, such as housing, employment and the environment?
Ooh, that's a very big question. I will probably go a lot of technical here, but this is my answer to it. So basically, the EU has different level of competencies. That is, a lot of people don't know that if you have not studied European governance. So based on these competencies, the EU can act or they cannot act. And you have exclusive competencies, you have shared competencies and supportive competencies. And some areas like climate change and, for example, employment are shared with member states, while others like housing are mostly national. So still, the EU plays a strong supporting role by funding initiatives and setting priorities. For example, on jobs, it supports youth employment through programs like I mentioned, ALMA and the European Social Fund Plus, especially for young people facing barriers. When you look, for example, on your question about the climate, the EU has shared competencies, which leads with green deals and engages young people through initiatives like, for example, the European Climate Pact Ambassadorship and Discovery EU for Sustainable Travel. Also, when it comes to housing, which is mainly a national competency, the EU helps indirectly via regional development funds by encouraging sustainable housing solutions through environmental policy innovation funding. So even where the EU doesn't act alone, it still empowers member states and young people to act together on the bigger issues.
What do you wish young people knew about Europe that is too often left unsaid?
So, one thing I would wish for is for young people to realize that actually the EU is really invested in them and their future, even though it doesn't always look like it. It can seem like a distant institution full of just offices and grey suits and bureaucrats, but it's actually full of people that are working daily to create opportunities also and especially for young people to grow, to learn and to have a say in how the EU is shaped. There's so much more than just the scholarships and the travel, like I said. There's funding for startups to fight climate change. There are spaces to join where you can have important conversations. So all of this is there to help young people build also their careers and shape their communities. It's not just about study and travel. Also, I wish for young people to know that their voices actually do matter. The EU wants them to be involved in decisions that actually do affect their lives. So that's why the EU sets up a lot of dialogues and initiatives just for that we also mentioned, like the EU Youth Dialogue. So yeah, Europe is actually closer and more supportive of young people than they might think. And it's just about stepping in, for young people to step in and take part. Also because we shouldn't forget that the EU is a collective effort. It goes both ways.
As we have seen, Europe has many initiatives for young people, but sometimes understanding on accessing these opportunities can seem complicated. This is why organizations like We Citizens and Europe Direct Centers come in as bridges, places for exchange, information, and even dialogue with Europe. As some of our auditors may or may not know, the NGO We Citizens, an NGO that promotes citizen engagement, has a Europe Direct label. Can you explain to us what does it concretely mean to have the Europe Direct label?
Europe Direct Centers, I picture them like local bridges between the European Union and its citizens. Being a Europe Direct means that the center logistically is officially recognized and funded by the European Commission to provide free, up-to-date info about the EU. It's right where you live, study or work. But as a Europe Direct Center, we're not just about handing out leaflets or pamphlets. The Europe Direct Centers also run workshops, debates, cultural events that bring European ideas closer to the citizens. We explain what the EU does in a way that everyone can understand, and we help people discover different kind of opportunities like volunteering or funding or work study. So what's really cool is also that it's a two-way street. We listen to the citizens' concerns and questions, and we share them. We actually do share them back with the European Union. So the voices of citizens, including young people, get actually heard. I would say that being a Europe Direct isn't just about sharing info. It's a way to connect communities to the European Union, to Europe, and make sure that actually everyone can see how the EU fits into their lives every day. Yeah, so in a nutshell, basically, I would say having the Europe Direct label means being part of a trusted, dynamic network committed to bringing Europe closer to its citizens. We help everyone understand what the EU does, how it affects their lives, and how can they be involved in shaping it.
And WeCitizen is also a European Documentation Center. And what is the role of a European Documentation Center in Luxembourg City?
So European Documentation Center is a space dedicated to providing free and open access to official EU information, both in digital and print and form. It's particularly useful, for example, for students, researchers, teachers, or anyone who wants to understand EU policies, legislations, and institutions in more depth. For example, you can find treaties, legal texts, statistical data, policy reports, and publications from the EU institutions, but also some fun publications for children. So it's not only for adults, but you also have publications for children to help them bring closer to the EU and what it actually means, the European project. In a city like Luxembourg, which I believe hosts several EU bodies and has a highly international population, for me, having a CDE like is essential. It allows people to study, teach, or simply stay informed about the European Union's function based on facts, not just opinions. Specifically, the Europe Direct Center and the European Documentation Center is in the heart of Luxembourg City, very close to La Gare. So I think that is one of the best positions to show that even in those places where often people try to avoid, like the Gare, we are present there and we are here to listen and to have a voice. And we have a lot of people that actually sometimes come in from the Gare. They looked at us and they're like, what are you doing? Like, what are you here? And then it's super nice to explain them about the European Union. And sometimes they take documentation. Sometimes they ask if we sell t-shirts. We don't. But anyways, it's actually, it's nice to see when you're impacting everyday lives of people.
People can ask you to order them some documentation, right?
We work with the publication office of the European Union. We have certain documents we can order for free. Others, they are online better to available. We often recommend our visitors to always look online because that saves paper, saving the environment. But we understand that we had some cases where teachers came and they asked if they could have some documents printed for their students. Of course, then we do it because we understand like they will probably reuse those books.
What action, events, project does WeCitizen implement to help citizens feel closer to Europe?
At WeCitizen, we coordinate not just as a resource hub, but as part of our broader mission, the Centre de Documentation Européenne and the Europe Direct Center. For us, it's like to promote citizenship, critical thinking, and access to knowledge. For us, it's really important to help reach other people. It completes our outreach work by offering a credible, in-depth source of information for anyone curious about Europe. And as I mentioned before, we host workshops, panel discussion with Luxembourg MEPs, and organize projects like EU for Youth or MEP for a Day. We also ran a graffiti and a writing contest. We take often part in festivals and, of course, in Europe Day. It is important for us to create spaces where young people can learn, express themselves, and engage directly with the EU. So basically, if you think about our main goal, it is to bring Europe closer to its citizens right here in Luxembourg.
So do you have example of young people who discover a European opportunity thanks to WeCitizen?
When I realized how much our work means and how much the work that I put to actually create difference was during our recent EU for a Future event, which was the goal to give young people a platform to share the future of social economy. And one of the MEPs mentioned, for example, the ALMA initiative that I mentioned before. And a participant was actually very curious about it and asked a follow-up question to learn more. And that was the moment that really stuck with me because it really showed that our events create real connections between the youth and EU opportunities. And it creates real connection between people that are actually changing legislation or being part of policymaking and people that really want to learn more about Europe. And so it kind of reminded me that sometimes all it takes is the right space and the right conversation to open doors for someone.
Before we wrap up, I would like to ask you a few more personal questions because beyond the institution is also human stories to bring Europe to life every day. So, Ivan and Anna, why did you choose to get involved in this field?
For me, it actually goes back, I would say, to when I was in high school. I first heard about the Erasmus program then, and honestly, I was mesmerized by the idea of going abroad on a scholarship to study at another university and live kind of a parallel but also very real life. And to me, it sounded like such an incredible opportunity, like a dream. So when I actually first took part in my first Erasmus experience, as I mentioned, it truly changed my life. It didn't only open my eyes to a new culture and new ways of thinking, but it kind of also shifted my priorities. And then I started to notice that despite how amazing the Erasmus program is, many universities didn't advertise it properly, and a lot of my fellow students didn't even know that it was an option for them. So this kind of shocked me. And from that moment, I felt this urge to help change this. So I was using whatever time and energy I had outside of my studies to spread the word, to make sure that more young people and fellow students and friends knew about this incredible opportunity that the EU offers. And the more I did it, the more I realized how much I love sharing information and connecting people to the possibilities that they can have. So I'm here today because I really believe that everyone deserves to know about and access these life-changing opportunities. I feel like it's a way to help others open doors that maybe, and often probably, they didn't even know existed.
So for me, honestly, for a long time, I took the European Union for granted. I didn't realize how much it had a positive impact on my life until I took part in my first Erasmus Plus exchange during my studies. I spent a semester in Paris and ended up in a course on EU lobbying. For the first time, I felt like I was in the right place for the right mindset. When the professor spoke about the European Union, its origins, and how it came to be, like the free movement, no passports, the euro, and all the shared values, that was the moment actually for me it hit me. It's funny to say it, but time stopped in that moment, and I suddenly saw the bigger picture and everything, and like two puzzle pieces that came together. And that was the moment like I fell in love with the European project. I know it sounds so cheesy, but like my eyes started sparkling, and that is the moment I knew that I want to work for this field and actually want to bring the EU closer to its citizens, because I think the European project is a very cool thing and there's super many opportunities and I want to be part of it.
That's so cute, actually. If you have,
I still got kicked out of that class because they took me out of the list at the end. And then the teacher, she didn't want me to be there anymore because I was constantly asking so many questions.
No way.
Yes, and she was like, "Ivan, you're not on the list, so I have to kick you out. You disturbed my class."
Oh no.
Yes, it was crazy. And then I was like, "How? No," because it was the only EU lobbying class that I had in my life. I was studying international business, so no EU. So that was the only class in my Erasmus studies that I had like the chance to learn about the EU, and then I got kicked out after the second class, and then yeah, it was very sad. And then I did European politics master's degree, so it's fine.
If you had to describe Europe in one word, which one would you use?
I would choose the word connections, because I mean that's what Europe is about. It's connections on every sort of level, professional, personal, academic, and voila.
So for me, it was possibilities. As I mentioned before, there are so many programs and opportunities to participate for the youth. And there are many to come. I'm sure that there are going to be different changes. So I think the EU is like parent that provides opportunities and gives us doors. And it is ours to choose which ones we want to take.
What advice would you give to a young person who no longer believes their voice matters?
I'd say, don't underestimate your power, because it's easy to feel small or invisible, especially when there are big decisions that are made far, far away in offices that we don't know about. But I would say that history shows that time and again, change often starts with just one voice speaking up, and then many more can join in. So I'll say it again, the EU is a collective effort. And also, even beyond formal channels, raising your voice in your community, online, or with friends can create ripples. So don't wait for permission. Take that step, share your views, and find others who care. Your voice matters more than you think, and together, I think young people are a powerful force for change.
So I'd say your voice matters more than you think, especially when you feel unheard. Many big changes start with someone who felt alone but dared to speak up. So if you stay silent, others will decide for you. And I believe you don't need to be perfect and know everything about the EU or be an expert. Just by showing up, sharing your story, or asking a question, you're already shaping the future. That is how change begins, by being involved and acting now.
I have a question. I just thought about that. If you can answer, it's great. If you cannot answer it, it's okay. Why a young person will be like more into the European Union than his own country? Because I think young people are like interested about what is going on in their country. You know, what is going on, who is the president, who is that, who is that, that. But they are not in the street about the European Union, but they don't know that what is going on in their country also affects the European Union. So,
like, what, they already care about their country,
yeah,
why do they need to
why
add?
Do they need, or what do they need to care more about the European Union than their own country?
Okay, I wouldn't say that they need to care more about the European Union rather than their own country. I think it's okay if they care more about their own country rather than the European Union. I think the member states and the European Union are, of course, interconnected. And things that are decided by the European Union also have effects in their own countries. Mm-hmm. It's like a virtuous, I would say, rather than vicious, it's a virtuous circle. So what happens actually in the European Union then happens in the member states and in the countries. So I feel that it should be interesting to know what gets decided for all the member states. It also depends on here, also on the member states and on the countries, because there's not a lot of European education.
Mm-hmm.
It should start also from there. It's not just at university level that they should study, for example, European law, European history, etc. But also from the schools, we should be aware of what is happening.
What is happening,
But also I share the fact that the European Union should be better at communicating. Because honestly, there are so many things, programs, activities that don't get communicated well enough. And the citizens and the youth, no one knows what's happening.
Yeah, I think like in every like school, there should be like a... Besides the Europe Day, but like the Europe Day in schools, like here, where you really learn what the European Union and what you can do, like especially if you're going to go to the university next year. You already know about Erasmus Plus, but there's more. Like, because when you think about an internship, you first think about, I have to find an internship in my own country. But you can also like do an internship abroad, and people do not know that.
I think it's also how the European Union communicates, because a lot of the communications feel very legal and formal, and it's not a language that gets to the citizens and to the youth.
Yeah. If you had a European magic wand, what would you change for young people tomorrow?
If I had a European magic wand, I'd create a European basic income, I think, for young people, so that everyone could study, volunteer, and launch a project without being held back by financial barriers, because often that is the reason why often people don't seek studies opportunities, because of the financial barriers. But most importantly, I think I'd make sure that every young person, no matter their background, sexuality, or whether they live with a disability, has easy access to clear information about their rights and opportunities in the European Union, starting from primary school or high school. So basically, I would make sure that every young person in Europe has the power to dream, to act, and to feel seen.
So with my European magic wand, I use it to actually make mental health support for young people a top priority across all Europe, the whole Union, all member states. Because yes, as we did today, we often talk about jobs, education, climate, but mental health is actually crucial. I would want every young person to have easy access to quality, stigma-free mental health services, no matter where they live. Support that is affordable, approachable, and actually tailored to their needs. And I want them to know that this is an option for them.
Yeah.
They can get help. They can ask for help. Because I think when young people feel mentally strong and supported, they can actually take on challenges with confidence. They can dream bigger and they can actually really thrive. So this kind of care would actually change and impact lives and would actually build a healthier and happier Europe for everyone.
What is the most memorable or meaningful moment you have experienced related to Europe in your work?
So I would say it's actually seeing people get interested in the European Union. With We Citizens and the Europe Direct Center of Luxembourgville, in May we took part in the Europe Day celebrations and we had a stand with documents from the European Union and we were available to share information about all things EU to the citizens. And well, honestly, actually, we had quite the turn up. People came to us, they were curious to learn more, they were motivated, they asked questions and had conversations with us about different topics. And honestly, I think these kinds of exchanges are exactly what drives me to keep going in this line of work, because I see that people are curious and interested and there is a response on the other side. There's a willingness to listen, to engage and to know more. And that's exactly what I look for.
I think one of my most beautiful moments for me was seeing possibilities turning into reality by building bridges between young people and Europe. But specifically for me now, it was to get the chance to take part on youth policy dialogues with you commissioners, and even to be able to meet Roberto Metsola, the president of the European Parliament, or Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the European Commission. Like, that for me was like a crazy experience, to be able to meet Roberto Metsola, the president of the European Parliament, or Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the European Commission. Like, that for me was like a crazy experience, that Ursula were like touching EU flags and me telling her how beautiful the flag is, that it is like a thing this picture will never get out of my mind. And also during Europe Day, which is really, I feel honored, I got the chance to speak and meet with Grand Duke Henry of Luxembourg. And I think that would have never happened if I didn't chose this path of the European Union and working with the European Union. That's when I really truly realized that EU is much closer than us than we think. It's not there just to limit us or impose its views. It is basically there to support us, protect us when needed, and most importantly, help us grow.
Merci à Yvan et Anna pour cet échange et pour avoir participé à ce dernier épisode de WePod and Local Heroes. N'oubliez pas, WeCitizen et son centre de documentation européenne sont là pour répondre à vos questions. L'association organise régulièrement des événements autour de l'Europe, alors n'hésitez pas à la suivre sur les réseaux sociaux. Et si vous souhaitez vous engager auprès de l'association ou dans des actions européennes, vous pouvez toujours contacter le Service national de la jeunesse pour faire un volontariat dans l'association ou bien envoyer un mail à contact@wecitizen-lu.com. Merci de nous avoir suivis tout au long de cette première saison de WePod and Local Heroes. Un grand merci également à Fernando et Prosper, les animateurs qui m'ont accompagné et soutenu tout au long de cette aventure. C'était vraiment génial de travailler avec vous et ce fut un vrai plaisir pour moi d'animer ce podcast. Continuez à explorer, à poser des questions et à vous engager. À très bientôt pour de nouvelles aventures citoyennes et européennes. Au revoir.